Would you please turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The title of the message this evening is The Man Approved by God. The Apostle Paul writes in this text these words, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." Present yourself approved to God. Now, I suspect that for most people, certainly those that have any confidence in the message of the Bible and the fact that it is God's Word, to speak about receiving God's approval would be a topic of some significance to the minds of such people. Of course, a lot of people go through life with the expectation that God is going to just approve everybody. Well, there may be an exception here or there through the course of history. We don't generally find many people arguing for the approval of Adolf Hitler or of Saddam Hussein or other characters such as that. But many people go through life with the expectation that God's just going to approve just about anybody and everybody. The Scriptures have something different to say about that, I am persuaded. In this very text, though we'll not in our study this evening be looking at the verses that go on after verse 15, but Paul writes about things that ought to be avoided. That if one is seeking to gain the approval of God, then what you need to do is avoid certain things. And the implication is if you don't avoid these things, then you're not going to receive God's approval. It's quite obvious from the words of Jesus Himself that not every person is going to receive the approval of God. You'll recall perhaps Jesus' description of judgment and people coming to Him and crying out, you know, "Lord, Lord," and reminding Him of the things that they had done in the course of their life. And then His response to them is, "Depart from me. I never knew you. You worked lawlessness." This was not the approval of the God of heaven that Jesus was speaking of in regards to these people. So it's quite apparent that from the Bible that not everyone is going to receive the approval of God. And so we must ask ourselves, if we're serious about our own welfare and our eternal destiny, we must ask ourselves, okay then, what is needed in order to receive the approval of God? And so I want to talk to you this evening for just a few moments about this. Who is it that has the approval of God? And it may be helpful, as it sometimes is in such things, to start by asking, well, who is it? Who is not the person who has the approval of God? But when Paul writes about the approval of God and having the approval of God, he is not speaking about a person who has lived a sinlessly perfect life. An approved man or woman in the eyes of God is not a person who has been sinlessly perfect. If that were the case, then none could be approved. And the Bible very plainly talks about men and women being approved. But it's not because they've lived without sin. And Romans 3 and verse 23 speaks to us about the fact that all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 10 talks about the fact we ought not to say that we haven't sinned. If we say we haven't sinned, he says we lie. We lie and we do not the truth. Or we don't have the Father and the Son. So the approved man or woman is someone who has, it is not a person who has lived sinlessly. Nor is it a person who is self-commended. Just because an individual says, "I have God's approval," does not mean that they have God's approval. Just because a person approves of themselves doesn't mean that God approves of them. And that's made abundantly clear over in 2 Corinthians in the 10th chapter and in verse 18. He says, for not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. We're talking about men and women who are approved by God, not men and women who are approved by themselves. Such people who commend themselves and rest assured in themselves because of their own self-commendation are like the Pharisees that we read about in the New Testament during the life of the Lord. Maybe you'll remember a story that Jesus told to kind of illustrate this about this class of people, these Pharisees. Luke the 18th chapter, verses 9 through 14, he talks about a Pharisee and a publican who went down to the temple to pray. The Pharisee was so satisfied with himself. He commended himself without end almost about what a good person he was. Did this make him approved of God? I mean, think about it for a moment. Where was he? He was at the temple. What was he doing? He was praying. These are good things. These are things that people approved of God would do. He was self-assured. But self-commendation does not make one approved of God. Nor is it the person who is approved by others. There are a lot of folks that will go through life with the expectation of having God's approval because everybody else around them has approved. This seems to have been the concept behind what Jesus discussed in Luke, the 16th chapter, in verse 15. When once again he is speaking of people in his own day, his own time. Verse 14 tells us that the Pharisees were lovers of money. They were listening to all the things that Jesus was saying, and verse 14 says that they were scoffing at him. And then verse 15, listen to his response. He says, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God." Now, these were individuals, Jesus said, who had received the esteem of others. Their practices and their claims of service to God were accepted by people who were observing them. And they were confident then that they had approval from God. But what God says is simply the fact that men approve something doesn't mean I've approved it. The classic illustration of that is found in the life of David. And you'll remember how the prophet Samuel, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, having been sent to anoint the successor to Saul, the new king over Israel, was told to go to the house of Jesse, and there he saw all of the sons of Jesse, and the first one who came out was the oldest son, and he was tall and he was good looking, and he had many of the attributes that Saul, the present king, had had when he first became king. And Samuel thought, surely this is the anointed one of God. It's plain to see. And God said to Samuel, no, men look on the outside, God looks on the heart. You see, the fact that men approve of something doesn't mean God has approved of it. You want to know the truth of the matter. If you find something that has been overwhelmingly approved by a lot of people, you may want to stop and think about this thing very carefully. That may be a pretty good indication that it's something God wouldn't approve of. Not saying that's always the case, but it might be just a cautionary measure to take. So, we're talking about those that are approved by God. It is not the sinless person. It is not the self-commended person. It is not the person approved by others. Then, who is the one approved by God? Well, I want you to notice with me that there are a few things that are said in this text that would help us to understand this. And the person who's approved by God is the person who works. Notice again, as you go back to verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman. The person who has God's approval is a person who is diligent. The text goes on to or begins with that phrasing, be diligent. It requires effort. It takes the dispensing of effort to receive God's approval. Diligence involves hastening to a task. It involves the exertion of energy and the exertion of our efforts in order to receive God's approval. And what this proves to us is that man can and must do something in order to be approved by the Lord. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 9. The Apostle Paul has this to say, therefore also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. It's our ambition, he says. It's our goal, it's our purpose, to be pleasing to Him. And what that requires is work. To have the aim of being pleasing to God is what motivates our diligence. And so, pleasing God is never going to be something that we do accidentally. Pleasing God is always going to be something that we set out to do with purpose. And pleasing God in this way is going to also promote a steadfastness about our work, about our effort. You know, it's sad that in many religious circles, work has become a four-letter word. The idea of work, it is thought to be completely foreign to the notion of serving God. In spite of the fact that passages such as we're looking at this evening plainly speak about having a diligence about being a workman. And having as our aim to please God, thus producing within ourselves a steadfastness about working for the Lord, abounding in the work of the Lord, Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Now this is a great need among God's people. Always has been. I don't mean to say that somehow in this day and age, in our time, it has become a more pressing need than it has been in times past. I mean, the very fact that we see so much of the New Testament being written to urge people along this line to be diligent and to be workmen in order to be approved by God is a demonstration that people back then needed to be urged, encouraged to do these sorts of things. So if we're going to be approved by God, we need to understand that it's going to involve our effort. But then we also need to understand that what this verse identifies for us is that the person who is approved by God is also the one who handles His Word correctly. It suggests a carefulness about handling God's Word. A carefulness not to twist it and to misuse it, to take it out of context. You know, the Apostle Peter uses that interesting word in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, when he talks about the writings of the Apostle Paul, which he attributes as Scripture, which, by the way, gives us a pretty good indication of the view that the writers of the New Testament had about the things that they were writing. That they understood it to be Scripture, to be that which stood on the same plane as Old Testament Scripture, as being God's Word, as coming from God. And Peter says to his brethren that they should be careful that they don't wrest the Scripture. And the idea is of twisting it, of tearing it away. The warning was, be careful that you don't misapply it. Now, the person who has the approval of God is a person who approaches God's Word with such care, such respect, handling it correctly means to apply it in the ways that it was intended to be applied. You know, the Scriptures are never intended, never have been, never will be intended to be the source of excuses for our misbehaviors. How many times have you heard folks take Scripture for that purpose? Well, God is love. Is that Scripture? Yes, indeed, that's Scripture. But it's Scripture that so oftentimes is used in order to excuse a person's behavior that is directly contrary to what Scripture teaches. Well, God is love. He's not going to condemn. He's going to approve. Why? Because God is love. That's Scripture. Yeah, but that's twisted Scripture. I mean, we really don't have to remind ourselves, do we, that the devil was pretty adept at quoting Scripture. He was the best of the twisters of Scripture, the perverter of Scripture. But the person who is approved of God will have a higher regard for God's Word. It not only means that we will speak it accurately, we will apply it within its context. It also means that we will speak it regularly. We will speak it, again, as the Apostle Paul would say on another occasion, in season and out of season. We'll speak it when it's popular, when people approve of it and of what it says. And we'll speak it when it's not popular, and when people don't approve of it and don't like what it says. Speaking God's Word and handling God's Word correctly means applying it to all circumstances and to all people, including ourselves. You know, that's oftentimes the difficulty, isn't it? Is applying what we know the Scriptures to teach to ourselves. We might be pretty good at applying it to everybody else. I'd say, oh, well, the Bible, you know, it teaches that you ought not to do this. You ought not to do that. This is wrong. Avoid this, as long as we're talking to other people. But when it comes time to talk to ourselves, we sometimes manage somehow to overlook the Scriptures. Handling God's Word in an accurate fashion so that we can be approved by God means that we will handle God's Word respectfully. We'll handle it correctly. It also means that we will approve God's ways. We've been talking about God's approving us. I want to talk to you now about us approving God. For people who have the approval of God are people who have approved God and God's ways. I think probably the most astute political answer I ever heard makes this illustration. Now, I want to preface this by saying to you, I could not care less about what your political affiliations are. But in 2008, in the Republican presidential primaries, Republican candidates were gathered not far from here, the Reagan Presidential Library, for a debate nationally telecast. At the end of that debate, the candidates were asked this question by the moderator. Make your best case for why Ronald Reagan would approve your candidacy. Now, as I said, I don't care about political affiliations, but I think anybody would recognize that Ronald Reagan is something of an icon in Republican circles. So make your best case for why this icon of your party would approve of your candidacy. And so they began to answer. They went down the line, each one. They came to the last man, who happened to be Mike Huckabee that year, if you remember the ones running. This was his answer. I would like to think that Ronald Reagan would support my candidacy, but I can't say that he would. What I can say is I approve Ronald Reagan. Camera shifted away to Nancy Reagan sitting in the audience, and she leaned over to the person sitting next to her and said, you can read her lips as plain as day. That's a good answer. And that's right. It was a good answer. And that's exactly what we're talking about here, about people who are approved by God. It is the man or the woman who approves of God's ways. Can you not see the inconsistency of seeking God's approval while not approving of God's ways? While not approving of God's terms for being pardoned from our sins? While not approving of God's ways regarding His church and how it is revealed as being its organization and its ways of worship and its work that it is to do? Can you not see the inconsistency of seeking to have God's approval while being unwilling to approve God and God's ways? The man who is approved of God, or the woman who is approved of God, approves of the things that are excellent as they are identified in the Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21 urges us to hold fast to those things that are good. Identify them. What is good? What is good in God's ways? A wonderful Old Testament scripture in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, where he says, He has showed you, O man, what is good. Approve those things, Paul said to the Thessalonians, that are good, and hold fast to them. Now what that means is, when you find out something that is not good, you need to let go of it. But when you find something that is good, it's good in God's estimations, it is good according to God's ways, you need to approve it. How else could we hope to be one who has been approved by God? Are you seeking to be a man or a woman in your life approved by God? Well, I want to tell you, you can only succeed in that effort if you will approve God's ways. If you'll take God's word, respectfully apply it to your life and your practices, and if you'll go to work doing the things of God. Work in your life individually. Work with other Christians in a setting such as a local church. But work. There's no other way to be approved by the Lord. The ways of God are plain and clear in how one can become one of His children. He called upon men and women, believing Him to be the Son of God, to turn away from their sins and to confess their faith, to be baptized, washing away their sins. Do you approve of that? Do you look at that and you say, well, you know, Dave, that's fine. I approve of it. Yeah, I mean, that's as good as any other way. Well, then you don't approve of the ways of God. Oh, you may approve of the way of God, but you may approve also of the ways of men and the other ways that people might seek forgiveness and finding the approval of God. Now, the person who approves of the ways of God is the person who hears the things that God has said and says, yes, that's what must be done, and that's the only way that it must be done, because it's God's way. Do you approve of God and of God's way? If you do and you've never obeyed His gospel, then tonight you need to go to work. You need to start actively doing those things that you've learned are the ways of God. And we stand ready this evening to give you every assistance that we can to give your obedience to God. And pray that you would allow us to do that while we stand and sing together.